Eres Hatayra, Perikas, Sif Ches, page Nun Beis. I'm not sure exactly what it means. I'll just try a little bit together to understand. He's returning to a Nakuda that obviously weighed so heavily upon his great mind and heart. And it throughout the Sefer comes back. And from the very beginning, we were talking about this. Rav Kook, and I'm sure many, all the tzaddikim, one of the greatest challenges of their lives was how to live simultaneously in the world of greatness, in that world of Atzilus, in the bigger picture of Dveikus Bashem, and at the same time not to neglect the prote protem, the tiniest little details of life. And particularly in the case of Rav Kook, who was such an extraordinarily sensitive person, Michlal was such a himmeldicke mensch that for him he had to contend with the katness, what appears to be the katness, the smallness of day-to-day life, and the katness of the halachas of day-to-day life. And we've spoken about this, Rav Kook has spoken about this a great deal. Throughout the Sefer, it keeps on coming back, and particularly in his parak. So here Rav Kook writes, Yesh Shahan Neshama. It happens, we see such a thing. Shahan Neshama kishi mukhsheres l'sheifas gedolos shel hazbeinuyos ruchanias. When there's a neshama that is on a madrega, when there's a person who's on a madrega to have tremendous she'ifas, tremendous aspirations, she'ifas and longings, shel hazbeinuyos ruchanias, to meditate deeply upon spiritual matters. When there's a yid who has such a hachshara that he's geared towards this, and he's naturally inclined to enter into those hezbeinus yuchanias, there's certain yidin that they come to the world in such a way, where the guf is less of an inyan by them, and the sheifas and ruchnias are very, very great. So sometimes Rav Kook says a person like this, misatzeves kishihi oisekes beprote halachas, that such a person, such the neshama of this person, such a person who has this kind of a neshama, becomes sad, is saddened by having to deal with the prote halachas, with the details, with the ins and outs of halacha. V'imageshes oz es mitzareha, and the neshama feels constricted, feels a narrowness. Shehin is geres azbahem. The neshama feels that she's being imprisoned and being sent into golus in this shach, in this taz, in this taisus, in this rashba. And you have to remember that besides writing these kinds of svarim, Rav Kook was the Rav of not only Yerushalayim but of the whole Yeshuv. And when we just the little that we have in writing of the life of Rav Kook, this is supposed to be a Chasheva biography in English that's coming out in the next few months. But the little that we have describes a schedule that was unbelievably hectic, with all kinds of very, very mundane, all kinds of mundane matters that were very much a part of what was going on in Eretz Yisrael at that time. It's a very, very stormy time, those years leading up to the Hakamas HaMedina, time World War I, after World War I, with the English, with the British mandate. It was a very, very difficult time. The poverty, and Rav Kook was dealing with all of these things. Prate pratam, you see from the letters that we have from Rav Kook, the kind of things that he was metapel with, the things that he had to get involved in. So if he's speaking about a neshama that's in pain, or that feels imprisoned by prate halachas that he had to deal with and answer shailas, he was the Rav. There was no greater example of such a suffering tzaddik than Rav Kook. So what's the solution to this? So Kook says, well, ein refuah sabai de bitula me'atar hamaisis. Rav Kook says the refuah of this neshama does not come by in any way neglecting the storm in learning and being involved in the practical side of halacha. It's not the refuah. Avol ein refuah sabo ayidei bitula me'ater hamaisis. Ki im al yidei hachsharas rucha. The solution is as follows. It's not bittul, not going away from that type of limud Torah, but rather kim al yidei hachsharas rucha laharmes ha'erach shel kol prat mi prati hadvar ma'isim el oishem mekar haruchni. The solution is not to stop learning those things, but to lift up each of these details, of these practical details of halacha and of life. El oisha makar ruchni, to the wealth of the makar, where all of them come from in ruchnis. Hamakif vakloli, the bigger picture, to connect to the bigger picture. And this is something we've seen throughout the sefer. I have to always keep in mind that it's not that Rav Kook sat down and wrote this sefer called Erza Torah, just like Erza Tshuva, it was taken from different makars. So there are pieces that appear repetitious, that because they were written in different times of his life, and they're part of different collections of his writings. They were put together in the Ayurus HaTorah. He didn't write the Sefer Ayurus HaTorah. So the answer is not neglecting these limudim, but rather bringing these limudim up and back to the makar haklali, hamakif haklali, where they come from. So how does one do that? How do you take this, what appears to be this very, very tiny little dikduk in this particular aspect of halacha? How do you lift that up? Haharama hazayis nasis lefamim, ayde havrokas seichel toiv. So sometimes Rav Kook says the way that this happens, the way to do this, is with a flash of seichel toiv. That means chiddush. Sof kol sof, the makar of every chiddush, even if a person is machadish something in his understanding of this machlokes between the shach and taz, in the din of of bittul b'shishim, whatever it is, a chatich nas nevela. Sof kol sof the makar of this chiddush is in that seichel, which, as we learned in Tanya, is attaching itself to the Bari Olam, which is the Tayrus Hashem, which is the infinite will of Hashem. Right? We spoke a lot about that. That when a person is learning Torah, he's attaching his mind to the infinite mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what appears to be this little nitpicking chalila, it's not, but this little nitpicking argument that's going on between the Shach and the Taz, when the person is entering into that machshava, and especially if he's mechadish something in his mind, and there's a havrokas haseichel, there's a flash of understanding, some chiddush, or a new way of seeing this. So then that carries the person in a very, very strong way. It carries him to the makar, to where it comes from, which is the infinite one, which is a mechadish betuva b'chol yom tov ma'aseh bereishis, the whole inyan of chiddush haTorah, which we spent time talking about. The koach chiddush that a human being has. So even though the subject matter might appear to be small, it's a small inyan, but the mind is very great and very broad, and the koach chiddush is tremendous. That depending on each person, the koach chiddush. So sometimes, Rav Kook says, you can get out of the katnus by a godless of the mind, of the intellect, which connects you to that, to the exciting world of Meichen, the godless, of that greater way of looking at things. Ulefamim, and sometimes, Ayidei hargosha pnimis amuk arlechus mistefes mihazrochus al yenis shal da'as Hashem. Sometimes, one can get out of the prison of that tininess through a feeling, a hagosha pnimis, a deep inner feeling that halechus mistefes mehazrochus, that grows through the illumination, these higher illuminations, seldas Hashem. I guess if we want, I said, I'm not sure what this means, but in our language, maybe it means what I was saying before. That if a person stops and thinks that this halacha that I'm Isaac in, this is Das Hashem. This is Das Hashem. And there can be a very strong, that could unleash within the person a very strong emotion of my connecting right now to Das Hashem. So sometimes it's more rooted in the seichel, in the intellectual excitement that comes with uncovering something new in that Shach and Taz. Some new understanding, each person on his level. And that havrok of the seichel, that flash of understanding, carries the person to a bigger place. Sometimes the ikur is the emotion, that feeling of stopping and realizing how this is Das Hashem. That this is Das Hashem. And that every single word and every single letter is Das Hashem. Ulefamim miskavtsim yachat shnei hakoiches. Then if it's a really good day, then these two koiches join together. The seichel and the leif, the mind, the intellect, and the hergish, the regish, the emotions. That's the meaning of Vayigash Elav Yehuda, of Yehuda and Yosef coming together. Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. L'form miskavtsim yachat shnei hakoiches, shal havrokas haseichel, v'or hahargosha, the havrok of seichel, the flash of intellect, together with the light, which is Yosef HaTzadik, together with the aura, the light, the illumination of Hargosha, of the emotions, which is David HaMelech, which is Yehuda. Lashpia al harchoves haprotim hamaisin, and this could have a big hashpa on expanding the practical details of bringing or bringing an expansiveness or a feeling of expansiveness to the pratim hamaisim, to the practical details of halach and of life. Ad shimalu deshan einig, until the pratim hamaisim, what would otherwise be the monotonous or boring practical details of halacha and of life, are filled with deshan einig, are filled with great delight and pleasure. Ba'efen shetiyah neshama bilti mishamemes ba'oska behem, to the point that the neshama does not feel desolate while dealing with these inyanim. Ki misrachevus umisadanis. But rather, the neshama feels a harchava and an eden. It's misrachevus umisadanis. That the soul becomes Misrachevus, expands, misadenis, and is refined through the pleasure and through the delight of that higher way of looking at the smaller things in life and the smaller pratim in halacha. But of course, Rav Kook says that's not enough. And again, in his own life, that was never enough. Whatever he was doing all of this in the highest level. But it's not enough. Hatzlocha saharama hazois. One success in lifting up the little things of life and the little, so the, what appear to be the little details of halacha, one success in doing this, kshurihi im ha-matzav ha-musari shel ha-nefesh. First of all, it depends on the matzav ha-musari, which they usually translate to the ethical matzav, but to the matzav of this person's midas, has to do with his midas, shel nefesh, that's obvious. A person who's very mitzumtzum, whose matzav ha-nefesh is a very mitzumtzedig person, his matzav ha-nefesh is very, very, let's say, selfish or self-centered, lazy, unmotivated, so. Obviously, that person's hatzlach in doing this is going to be much less. It has a lot to do with tikkun amidus. All of this has to do with tikkun amidus. If a person bets him as a small person, he's a mitzumtzum tikkun mensch, so that it's for that person it's very, very hard that he should be matzliach in the inyan of finding a hachava or any tanug in the pratim of life. Mostly that causes the pratim of life causes him to feel bitter and to feel miserable. But a big person has the ability to find a great deal of hatzlacha in this avoda of expanding and lifting up what Rav Kook calls the harama, the lifting up of the pratim. A person who's a breiter mensch, who's broader and more open, and whose midas are more refined, so he's able to find the godless and to become greater through all of the things in life, through all of the pratim of life. And there are many, many stories of tzaddikim. Some of the most beautiful stories of tzaddikim are dafka not miraculous things. The stories that are coming out now about Rav Nosson Sitzvinkel, Zecher Tzadik Lavracha, Adavka, inspiring because of how a great person sees small things and how a great person makes a big deal about little things. That's the godless of a great person. Hatzlocha sarama azayis kshuvim ha-matzav ha-musari shel ha-nefesh. But that is also not enough. Tikkun Amidus, it's also not enough. But together with all of this, of course, Rav Kook ends and says, "V'im tseruf haruchani haba aidei ha'esek ha'tmidi b'mamake haruchnis ha'behirim u'bilti mitzmutzamim." All of this can only work if this individual is also constantly involved in learning those in yonim of Torah, the mamake haruchnis ha'behirim u'bilti mitzmutzamim, those areas of Torah that are not mitzumtzama, that was learning pnimius atayra. All of this has to be together with a person putting aside a chashuv, a piece of time in his learning, to be Isaac in those areas of Torah that are davke bilti mitzumtzama, that are not with the tzimtzum of halacha, prate halacha, and so on. That's the program for a person being able to be successful in this harama, which was Rav Kook's curriculum in the yeshiva, and his whole vision of Torah Eretz Yisrael, which we're going to be talking more about through the second part of the sefer. Torah Eretz Yisrael, that was his whole vision, and he saw this as something which would be much easier to accomplish in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, which the whole nature of Chutz La'aretz is symptom. And the whole Indian race itself is Harchava. Since the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, as Rav Kook writes and has written, and we'll see more, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, even the prote-protim of Halacha are surrounded with the Avira of Nevuah, of Nevius, of something bigger. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, the Machashakim HaYeshivani Kimesa Olam Talmud Bavli is choshech, is in a place of darkness, and in that state of darkness, one often has a hard time seeing the bigger picture. Eretz Yisrael is the place of nevuah, and in Eretz Yisrael, that Rav Kook saw it as the ultimate opportunity for this harama, for this lifting up of the Pratim. Those who do not engage in that can Davka and HSL become much more caught up in the Prate Pratim and can lose complete sight of the bigger picture, which could even lead to some Russia spitting on a little grill, you understand, who's not dressed according to his taste, which he thinks that he's doing something that gives Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so do the other Rishayim who are screaming together with him. That's when anybody who has a little bit of a shemitz of a Jewish heart and a Jewish soul knows that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying over such behavior, and that doesn't bring anybody closer to Mashiach. It brings everything further away. There's no need to go on. Everybody knows that this is a terrible Chil Hashem, terrible Rachman, is these things that go on. So how could there be such a tzimtzum in Eretz Yisrael? How could it be people are so mitzumtzum that you look at them, they have eyes like animals. In their eyes, they have like animals. And it's all in the levush of halacha. But this is the halacha, so they go and spit on a little girl. Which, by the way, they moved into their neighborhood. They came later. It's not like, I don't know if you even know what I'm talking about. Mr. Amos, some of you know what I'm talking about. So these people, this chevra from Yerushalayim came to Beit Shemesh later. It's just a new neighborhood. So besides everything, the chutzpah is mind-boggling. The chutzpah is mind-boggling. But on a deeper level, the tzimtzum, the terrible tzimtzum that is davke in Eretz Yisrael much more so than Chutz La'aretz, that it's because that's how it always is. The more opportunity for kedusha, and the greater the possibility of dveikus b'Hashem, the greater the likelihood and the chances of making a horrible mistake. And that horrible mistake, when it comes down into the world in the disguise of Yir Shamayim, because I would like to take that guy, there's a picture from the newspaper, I'd like to take that guy with the longer pays that spit on a little girl, I'd like to take that guy and find out about who he is. I'd like to see his ear, a little bit of a taste of his Yir Shamayim. I'd like to know what he does, what he's thinking about. Open up his head. I'd like to find out what he's thinking about on Motzei Shabbos at 2 in the morning. Maybe he's thinking about little girls on Motzei Shabbos at 2 in the morning. That comes from such a Yerushalayim that he can't stand that a little girl going off to study Torah in the street, that he goes and spits at her. Because it doesn't fit his picture of what Yerushalayim is. But the Tzimtzum, Bechlal, this is something, you know, the Tzimtzum of that you see in Eretz Yisrael as Marvel al Arayim. Tavka the Tzimtzum. At the same time, the Hachover, and you know, Rav Kook writing his poem, Merchovim, Merchovim, and then down the block you have these people, you know, down the block screaming and yelling and carrying on, which of course we're not talking about a large population, Chas V'Shalom. I'm talking about, as always, a small chevra of people who are causing terrible chilul Hashem. But where does it come from, such a tzimtzum? True Yerushalayim doesn't make a person smaller. True Yerushalayim makes a person greater. True Yerushalayim would help this yid, his name is Eisenbach, such a chashuva family. True Yerushalayim would help this yid to see how beautiful this little girl is, and how beautiful her family is. And if he has certain reservations about the length of her skirt or whether she's wearing sandals, then how could we bring more or of Yerushalayim and its tznius into the world through ahava and through teaching and so on? That's how Yerushalayim looks at the world. That's how the tzaddikim look at the world. And then everybody, then the impression now that the world has, because they read about it, of course, because all of the in the newspapers, in the magazines, they all want to, of course, to do everything to put down Yiddishkeit and to put down the Haredim and everything. So the people throughout the world now are thinking that this is what it means to be a firm person. It's a terrible choshech before Asar B'Tavis right now came down such a thing. This is how the world looks at us, at firm people. What's the meaning of Asar B'Tavis? That there was a matzor and a matzor, that Yerushalayim was besieged. The Yerushalayim was besieged by our enemies. That was the beginning of the Churban. It was the siege of Yerushalayim. What does it mean, the siege of Yerushalayim? I mean, l'inyaneinu. It means, l'inyaneinu means, it means tzimtzum. It means that a person is surrounded by a wall and he can't see. He can't see outside of that wall. The tachlis of Yerushalayim is to bring the light of Yiddishkeit to the whole world. And teshev prozos means that to be open to the whole world. That the whole world could see, what does it mean to be a yid? What does it mean that there's a bari olam? And that it came down such a thing that before Asar B'Tavis, by Chanukah and Asar B'Tavis, they should come down, that the world looks at us as being so small and so narrow-minded. That people that walk around thinking like we're from Iran. You know that people look at us like that. When they see in the street, now when they see a guy with a bin payas, when they see some lady with a tichel or a shetel, they think, oh, this is one of those people from Beit Shemesh. This didn't just start in Beit Shemesh. Anybody that knows a little bit about the history of the Yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a new thing they make. Like, it's just now because of the medium, because of how everything's so open with the technology, that it goes around like this. But you know, there have been tires burned before in Eretz Yisrael. It didn't start now, and there's been spitting and cursing before. So Yerushalayim is surrounded by a wall, and the wall is making us small. And Hashem Zbaruch wants us to be big people. That doesn't mean that He wants people to dress inappropriately. He wants everybody to do the right thing. Hashem wants us to do the right thing. He wants us that it should be with the masikas, with the sweetness, and should be with understanding and with patience, and not chas v'shalom in such a way of sinna. There's a picture in Hamadiya. You see the looks on the faces of some of these guys. These are sick people. The sick reikim. They're sick. They're sick and they're reikim and empty. But you look at their faces. They're not Jewish faces. It has pays down to here. And they got the stripes and everything. They don't look Jewish. The anger in their faces doesn't look Jewish. Well, they're angry. They're angry with other Jews. Look at the face. There's a face of a guy. It's a pachad to look at the face of a Rasha. And he thinks he's saving Yiddishkeit. How's he saving Yiddishkeit? Because some little girl doesn't know anything. She's walking. Gives a spit. It's a pachad that we fall into such a place. But it's not new. She says, now everybody knows about our dirty little secrets that we've been carrying around for years, especially in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Mishagam Mechutz La'aretz too, but the Mishagam here, they're more geshmak. They don't take it as serious. They don't take themselves as seriously as the ones in Eretz Yisrael. You have here also, but the ones in Eretz Yisrael, looks like Esav, the guy. This guy's screaming. Looks like Esav in his eyes, with long face, Esav. And that's how the world thinks. That's what it means to be a Jew. Not Rav Kook. You look in Rav Kook's eyes, you see an ocean of love for every creature in the world. You can even see it in the picture. An ocean of love. And by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they don't know about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. They don't know about the Amshon of a Rebbe. They know about a couple of thugs. A couple of thugs. There are all kinds of sexual deviants and sick people that need lifetimes of therapy. That they have such an inyan that there's a woman that's walking across the street and that makes them a sugar. What does he have with an inyan with this woman across the street? That's all he thinks about. That's all he thinks about. He thinks about that in shul. He thinks about that by Kriya Shema Lamita. He thinks about that when he goes into the mikveh, when he comes out of the mikveh. And then when he sees the girl, when he sees the woman, he goes crazy. And what is it? Why does he go crazy? Because he's one of God's warriors. Hashem Yirachem, the Tzimtzum. This also comes without being connected to the light of Pnimius HaTorah. It's one of the things, though. Tikkun HaMidos, there's no Tikkun HaMidos. What do you mean Tikkun HaMidos? You don't have to work on your Midos. You're Kanoi. Kanoi don't have to have nice Midos, you know that. Kanoi have to have nice Midos. Where does it say Kanoi has to have nice midas? Oh, the Satmar Rebbe had nice midas. Okay, you have every now and then there was such a thing. Kanoi don't have to have nice midas. They're not chayiv in the rest of the Torah. They have no meaning of having good midas. As far as learning Pnimius HaTorah, anach de getok, Pnimius HaTorah. They learn the Pnimius that they have in their life is to eat the inside of the kugel. That's the Pnimius that they have. There's no shaychus to Kedushas Levi. There's no shaychus to Pnimius HaTorah, these people. Those who are learning Pnimius HaTorah, they don't run around in the streets throwing rocks at ladies. They don't have an inyan with the streets at all. That's not their home. Their home is inside, not on the streets, worrying about whether or not this little girl is wearing sandals or something. I don't know, whatever she did was wearing sandals. Or she was waving to her friend and her sleeve came down. Whatever she did, the big avery she did. But there's no Torah. There's no Yerushalayim. There's no Tikkun HaMidos. And these are the people who, to the rest of the world, these are the most Orthodox Jews. Those are the most Orthodox Jews in the world. They're nothing. Poichzim, Reikim, nothing. But that's part of the last thing that we're going through before Mashiach comes, that in Eretz Yisrael there should be such a tzimtzum in that place of Nevuah. What is it? They don't care about Rabbanim. Do you know that these are people who attacked Rav Yashav also? These are people who attacked Rav Aaron Leifstein. They don't care about Rabbanim. They're not afraid of anybody. They don't care what Rabbanim say. They have no interest in anything. They have no Rav. The only Rabbanim they have died. The only people they quote are ones who are not alive. They haven't. They have nobody. Just like these. Just like the guys here. They go to Washington with the Palestinians. Who's their Rav? Who's their Rav? The ones that go from the Neturei Karta. They're not even Neturei Karta. In the Neturei Karta, are afraid of these people. That's how scary they are. They have no Rav. There wasn't any Rav. Who's their Rav? Nobody. They don't care. You mean so everybody's saying how come the Belzer Rebbe came out very strongly against all, but how come? How come they don't make up? Because they know the idea is that the best thing is just to get somehow to these people should get arrested and put into jail to just get them away, because they don't care about any signs put up in the street that this is us. They don't care about us or mutter. They don't care about us. They don't care about mutter. They don't care about anything. They have their agenda, whatever that agenda is, which I think comes from serious emotional problems. They have their agenda. There are 50 of them to 100 of them, and they're terrorizing the whole yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. As far as who's the Rav, what Rav? So you think Rav Avad Yosef, Rav Yosef, Rav Shmuel Arbach, they're going to have a meeting, they're going to write a thing, you're not allowed to spit at little girls. Then all these guys are going to say, we didn't know that. Oh, Shkoyach Rabbi, Shkoyach for setting our lives straight. They spit at Rav Yosef too. I'm not saying they really have done that. They send threatening letters to tzaddikim. They don't care. And to the whole world, these are Jews. These are what Orthodox Jews are. You know what a Chil Hashem? What's going on? Because of how the media works nowadays, and the Israeli media. Oh, they have such a nod from these things. They'll put an interview that they had with one of these Charedim. They call Charedim. But they won't put it in the newspaper the 50 other Charedim that told them that this is crazy, we hate this, we have nothing to do with these people. They won't put that in the newspaper. So the newspaper will give the impression that all Charedim, agree with this. God forbid. All Charedim, and this is 0.000 of the population. This is not about being Jewish. But the newspapers want to give this impression because this is for them the biggest Yeshua because they hate the Frumer, so this is for them. Now all of a sudden they feel bad for this little girl Naama, they love the Misnachlim. All of a sudden they love the modern Orthodox, they love the Mizrahi. So now they're coming to help them. They say it's all crazy things they're making in Eretz Yisrael, but it's without Tikkun HaMidos, it's without Pnimius HaTorah, and they don't care about Rabbanim, they don't care about Halacha, they don't care about anything.
I don't know the validity of it. They were the same thugs that went and broke windows in a bookstore in Lula about 2 months ago. And what was reported...
My wife thinks that's because of the Rav Cook cipher that we put out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They said it was the
English books. She said, you know...
The English books.
Because that's exactly when it came out.
Right.
It was that week. I don't know. I was going to go when I was there. I was going to apologize to Manny, but I didn't...
But what I heard was, they said they're going out to break some meetings. If it was done or not, I don't know. But it didn't happen again.
These guys, we need a couple of Gilgulim of America, Hannah. And they understand, these guys understand Mamaloshin. You know, Mamaloshin.
Yep.
You go out, a couple of Chevra. Take a couple of Chevra, take these guys and beat their brains out. Not, God forbid, not anything permanent. Just temporary. Yeah, nothing permanent. They have their own permanent problems. Don't have to give them new permanent things, but temporary stuff. And that the next time that he goes out in the street and he's looking at some little girl walk by, he should remember that he's going to have to that hurt him, and he's going to hurt him again to walk out on the street like that to scare Jews. But everybody's afraid. That's how it is. We're living in a pachad. So everybody's afraid. So you have these 50-100 mishagar, and the whole everybody's afraid. Everybody's afraid. No one's know. Everybody's afraid. This is one American guy I saw from Nei Yisrael, Lippman, that he's making Muhammad. I'm afraid for his life. I'm not afraid for his life. I don't know what they're going to do to him. They're not. These people are not afraid of killing someone. They would kill somebody. Yeah. They're not afraid. They would kill somebody.
They know the houses where they are.
They know how to ruin someone's life. And they'll make up lies. And they'll make up stories. And they'll put things. They'll leak things out into the newspaper. They will stop at nothing. And you know why? Because L'shem Hashem. This is the God of Israel. Aye. Sorry. L'farmim.
Sorry.
Tess. So if anybody asks you what my stand is on this, I think you have a... I gave you a little bit of a... You have a sense of where I'm coming from. You're for or against. Yeah. L'farmim kishalendim dvarim ketanim b'esfailis m'ruba kazu. sometimes, Rav Kook says, sometimes the farmer kishalom dem dvaram ketanim. He says, sometimes it's an interesting thing about Torah, because remember, every word of Torah is big. It just looks to us like it's small. So, therefore, Rav Kook says, you could take something, if you take something in Torah, kishalom dem dvaram ketanim, some little inyan, looks like a little, again, one of these little inyanim in Torah, during your, you know, your Seder and learning, and you come to one of these little things. He says, but if you learn this little thing, Rav Kook says, interesting. He says, you learn it the hispilus meruba kazu. Now, look how Rav Kook, he says a very interesting thing. Sometimes, if you take one of the pratim of Torah, and you learn it with big hispilus. Now, it sounds like this is going to be great. It's not going to be great. Listen, it has a good side and a bad side. To learn it with big hispilus, meaning with a lot of excitement, big hispilus, like as if this is the biggest thing. There's the way that you would learn, you know, a piece from the Zohar Kodesh. You learn a piece from the Kisvei Ari. Shirishuma al hanefesh, because you engage your emotions in this, it leaves a certain reishim al hanefesh. It gives the impression to your soul as if this inyan is, which of course it's Ratzon Hashem, so it is a big inyan, but as if this subject in Torah is gavoa shebegavoam, is this the highest you can get? This is the highest of the high. So Rav Kook says that could be dangerous. You have to keep things in perspective. How could it be dangerous? Mizgashem es hadas. It could make the mind coarse and simplistic. It could make the mind simplistic. I'm sorry to say, but you see, oftentimes in svarim that come out from a certain more al derech hamusar, these kind of a lot of these svarim, especially nowadays, and they'll have 20 pages like a mimer in musar. That again, I'm saying this, and Hashem should forgive me if I'm saying something wrong. In the Rosh Tevis of the Sfas Emes, in the Rosh Tevis of the first word, two words of the Sfas Emes on that parasha, there's infinitely more than in the 20 pages of that sefer. And then you see in the 20 pages of the sefer that the author is writing, Oyum v'noira, Oyum v'noira, Oyum v'noira. This is astonishing. This is, and then he'll write about himself that, you know, this chiddush that I have and this insight that I have is getting carried away with something that is not so good, not so big. The danger of that is that it could cause a dumbing down of Yiddishkeit, which it has done. It does that. It causes a dumbing down. A hispilus has to be again, every word of Torah in the Makar, that we were just learning the list, if in the Makar is Ratzon Hashem, is Das Hashem. Well, b'chol zos, things have to be kept in perspective. And therefore, the hispilus can cause this person to find all the godless of Yiddishkeit in something which the teva is more mitzumtzum in learning, where if he wouldn't find all of that godless in this, he would look for godless in something bigger. They would connect him on a deeper level to Hashem, on a much bigger level to Hashem. But he has his hispilus. He has his spilus, which is also it's nice, but he finds his spilus in this part, in this thing that he's learning, which is really a prat. It's not the klal. So being the spoil in a certain way from the prat, and stopping there and feeling spiritually satiated by that prat, could stunt the growth of a person. Could simply stunt his growth and keep him from moving on to broader, bigger things in his learning. It stunts his growth. And as a result of that, kanfei haruach miskatzitzais, the wings of his spirit get clipped. So you can imagine, like you have a, since we're talking about wings, okay, so you have an eagle. I was lucky to see in Seattle a bald eagle. I don't know if you don't have them around here. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So imagine you have an eagle, and you have this eagle. It's a very humble eagle. So this eagle is sitting on the ground, and he's looking around, and he has a gewaldige spilus from what he sees. I'm saying he's on the ground, and he has a big spilus. Look at that over there. You see that building over there? Wow. You see that tree over there? Phew. It's a big spilus. And he's totally oblivious to the fact that the rest of the chevre, all the other eagles, are like 300 feet, 400 feet up there, flying and seeing whatever. And this eagle is just so nispol from what's on the ground. He never ever flies. And his friend's telling him, Shaita, what are you doing over there? You're an eagle. What are you doing over there? You're looking at the hole in the ground. He said, look how many ants there are. Ooh. You have such wings. You know how you could fly? So that's a very sad thing when you see a Yid who's looking on the ground, even in his learning. Again, it's all Kaddish, but he's looking in the... You're telling me, you're an eagle, you have big wings, why don't you fly a little bit? You're not flying. You know how much you could see? You know what there is out there? Up there, there's so much. There's such big things. Yiddishkeit, the Bari Olam, what are you sitting there like that, pecking into the... And you have wings. So that's what Rav Kook says. Sometimes you have, lefamim, sometimes. Again, he's talking about a person who's learning it with the wrong mindset, not like an alesiv. So sometimes you have a thing where a person becomes nispol from dvaram ketanim, like the eagle that's nispol from the what's happening with the ants walking on the sidewalk. And he has his whole life, he spends this eagle is looking around, what's going on over here on the sidewalk? And the rest of his friends are soaring up to the highest places. So what happens is that's what he's saying. As if this small thing is a gavoya shebe gavoya. As if this is the highest thing in the world. As a result of that, misgashemes hadas, the mind becomes more magushim. It gets dumbed down. Becomes magushim. Becomes satisfied with small things. He has a hespilus, like a poor person. A poor person. So you give him a little bit something. The food there's a little bit. So he has a whole hespilus, and then he doesn't know that there's much better stuff out there than this little crumb that he got. So that's the Rachmanis. Misgashemes hadas v'kanfei haruach miskatzitzais, and the wings of one spirit are clipped. He remains grounded because he finds everything he needs in this little detail, in these pratim. He finds everything that he needs. He says, "What could be better than this?" You look at him. You out of your mind. It's like a guy that's sitting. Again, we're talking about Torah. It's not a bad thing. He's Isaac and Torah, but it's like a guy that's sitting in prison and they put in a new light bulb in his cell. Until now, he had only one light bulb. He had only like 50 watts. And now they put in another 50 watts. And he's thinking, life can't get better than this. This can't get better than this. I have 100 watts in my cell. This is godless. No, it's a Rachmanis. Because you're in a cell. And there's a whole world outside of your cell. Kanfei ruach miskatzit says the wings of the spirit are clipped, and the person sits on the ground. He sits in his jail, and he's in the spool. What I have in my jail, you wouldn't believe what I have in my jail. We get fleishes once a week. He has such a spilus in his jail. So what's the avayda? So is Rav Kook suggesting that we not learn with his spilus? So of course we should learn with excitement, everything. But he says the following: V'hadrocha yeshorahi, the right hadrocha is lilmal kol inyan bespilus shel simcha. So what does that mean? He says to learn everything. He doesn't say bespilus, just bespilus. Bespilus shel simcha, with a spilus of simcha, of joy. Sheyesh b'hagosha kfulu, that contains within it two hagoshas, two emotions. Regesh shel gdula el yayna, simcha, gdula ya'ach ha'mayid. And this is Torah Hashem. This is Torah Hashem, ha'mayid. and I'm Isaac and Ratzon Hashem, and my mind is connecting to the mind of Hashem. And that causes there to be a gewaldige simcha. And with simcha there's a hachava. Regesh shel gedula el yoni mitar shekol si'if katan ruchani halei mashlam hu esa etzach hayim kulay. Because every tiny little si'if in this tais, in this Shulchan Aruch, and every tiny little word in Taisus, any svara in the Rashba, is what is mashlim, is completing, is a piece of the puzzle of the Eitzach Chaim Kulay, of the whole tree of life of Teres Hashem, and that should cause a tremendous simcha, tremendous joy. Umitayich kach hakol hu gadol. In other words, always think of this as being a part of the hakol. Don't think of this as being the hakol. That's the difference. It's not hakol. It's a piece of the hakol. But that little piece should make you happy and have a spirulis with that piece. And the eagle can have a spirulis in that little nice thing that he's seeing on the ground. But he's got to know that there's a shemayim. He can fly. But he should be happy that that's part of God's world. God's world, that's a beautiful thing in God's world. But there's a big world. So if Cook's not saying we shouldn't have a spirulis, it should be a spirulis or simcha with what? That this is a piece of the Eitz HaChaim, of the whole Eitz HaChaim, of the whole picture. Hakol hu gadol. Hakol. He's got wings, and he knows he has wings. And what he's looking at on the ground is a part of the greatness of Shemayim and Aretz. He doesn't just sit on that and then become stuck in that, on the bugs walking on the sidewalk. He says, Gewalt, these bugs on the sidewalk, they're first cousins to the bugs I saw yesterday 200 miles up over there by the mountain. And with the Baruch Shem fears, I felt like this, what a world Hashem's Baruch has, a big world. That's what it means. Everything is big. Everything is big. That's one feeling. The rega sheni shebetoichias haprotius. The other feeling is that a person recognizes that deep, of course, inside every detail, shakol yidi of every piece of knowledge, of information of Torah, ubefrat Torahs, every detail of Torah, yesh ba'erech chiyuvi ma'oid. In and of itself, even without the whole picture, in and of itself is very valuable. It's not it, but it's very precious. Yesh be'erech chiyuvi ma'od. It has very positive value. Don't get carried away. That's not the whole Torah. Your pshat and taisus. But yesh be'erech chiyuvi ma'od. It's very chashuv. Sheroi laharicha besimchas kovod lefi midasai. That one should respect, and one should admire. The simchas kavod lefi midasa, with the joy, with the simcha of kavod, of honoring something that's important and valuing something that has importance. Of course, it has importance, and there should be a simcha of the that one has in the value of even this prat, of this detail. So that's that. In that way, one is looking more at that particular detail and enjoying that particular detail and the importance it has. The first emotion is not staying focused on that detail, but always being aware of it being and thinking that it's just a prat of the hakol, and that's more of a shamayim dikur way. So Rav Kook ends and says ve'esh shamala, the fire of the higher way of hakol, that fire of the first way, the eish shalmata, and the fire of the of below, meaning the of the smaller way, meaning the smaller thing is to the simchas hakavod that comes with that, with appreciating the value that detail has. That's the eish shalmata, the fire of below. These two fires are mischabrim biyachad; they join together. Lahoir, to illuminate, ulechamein, and to warm, esaneshama, to warm the soul. Instead of making a person smaller, the Esh Shamala and the Esh Shamat that joined together to be Mechamim Es HaNesham. Those who have learned the Ksavim of Rabbi Nachman Sussi Elena know, and Rabbi Nosson know, that in Breslov, but it's not just in Breslov, but Rabbi Nachman made a very big inyan of connecting Torah and Tefillah, which is a way of taking every part of Torah and transforming into a Tefillah. So that is a very, very, very basic strategy in Chassidus, of changing Torah into Tefillah, of taking something in Torah and transforming it into learning it properly and making a Tefillah out of it, to be able to be Zoyche for something, whatever it is that that person is learning, whatever part that person can make a Tefillah from it. And that could also be a very, very powerful way of harama, of lifting a person, of lifting the halacha up, and lifting the person up that he shouldn't stay grounded, but should be part of this general avodas Hashem of becoming a greater person. So if you're learning the pratim and the halacha of halachas neiros Shabbos or whatever it might be, or it could be in chesed mishpat, evanes, anything, and to daven for that inyan and for that for be zoche to the or of the neiros of Shabbos, or that particular track is in the halacha. Then that also is a very, very strong way of harama that we find, of lifting up the pratim that we find in Avodas Hashem. Well, we should be zeichim Hashem to see the whole picture, not just the pieces of the picture.